We were on the second last article of the Creed. The 11th article of the Apostles' Creed is a declaration of our faith in what will take place on the last day. And so we say, I believe in the resurrection of the body. As we enter on a closer scrutiny of this mystery, it may be useful to note that we are here saying more than that we shall live on beyond the grave. Our souls are spiritual by nature, and therefore cannot naturally die. The only way the human soul could go out of existence would be for God to annihilate it, that is, reduce it to the nothingness from which it came. And we know that God will never annihilate the human spirit. Declaring, therefore, that we believe in the resurrection of the body says more than believing that our souls are immortal. We further profess that our bodies will one day be immortal too. Suppose we take this in the proper order and ask ourselves, as we've been doing, a series of questions. What happens to us when we die? A number of things happen. Our time of probation or testing our loyalty to God comes to an end. What a consoling thought. But our time of merit will also end. The moment we die, we can neither merit nor demerit before God. Not even Christ himself. Once he took on our human nature and died, could any longer merit. Merit stops with death. We earn now. We get our wage when we die. Immediately on death, we are judged on our eternal destiny, whether we shall be saved or lost. And at least once in a while we should remind ourselves that part of our faith is that not everyone will be saved. Right after this particular judgment, the soul that is separated from the body goes to heaven, hell, or purgatory. Our bodies stay behind. What an expression. And immediately they begin to disintegrate. Depending on a person's age, state of health just before death, and the suddenness of death, there may be, as the Church tells us, several hours before actual death sets in. We commonly teach in theology up to 4 hours. Real death follows apparent death more rapidly in people who die older and have been long enduring sickness or disease. The moment we die, the body begins to decay, unless, as in some rare instances, with some saints, God miraculously preserves their bodies incorrupt. So much for the fact. And I dare say, not the least value of a retreat is at least once a year to seriously look into that future. Now we ask, why does our body separate from the soul? Faith tells us this is the penalty for sin. Let's recall its worth, the recollection. The account given in the first book of the Bible, in Genesis, and the reference to death as a punishment for sin occurs no less than 3 times in rapid sequence. First, after creating Adam, quote, "The Lord God took the man and placed him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it." And the Lord God commanded the man thus, "From every tree of the garden you may eat, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you must not eat. For the day you eat it, you must die." First time. Then after Eve was made, and the devil tempted her to eat the forbidden fruit, she told the devil, "A fatal mistake. Never argue with the devil." She did. She told him, "Of the fruit of all the trees in the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat, neither shall you touch it, lest you die." Second reference. The devil lied to Eve. "No, you shall not die," he told her. She believed the devil instead of God. What a commentary on so many people. Then she tempted Adam, and he ate too. Then, after our first parents both sinned and were driven out of the Garden of Eden, the Lord told Adam, "Dust you are, and unto dust you shall return." Third reference, to death as a penalty of sin. This is the final verdict on the human race. Why do we die? Because we are sinners. We go on asking questions. Why does God keep hidden from us the exact time of our death? He has many reasons. Most of them we don't know. One surely is that in this way we are inspired to a more wholesome honor and respect for God, not only as our Maker, but as the one who has mastery over our lives and calls us in death. God is our Lord twice over. Except for Him, none of us would exist. And only because of Him do we all die. Moreover, by not knowing when we shall die, we are better able to prepare ourselves and keep ourselves ever ready for death. I hate to think the condition of the human race if every human being knew exactly when he or she is going to die. I suppose we have our own private calendars. Let's see. I still have 11 years, 6 months, 2 days, 3 hours, and 2 minutes. How shrewd God is. Finally, God is merciful. He spares us the dread we naturally have when we think of death. And look, no matter what our chronological age, we're all the same. This fear is more easily moderated because we do not know the day and the hour. Know the bodily resurrection itself. We believe that our bodies will remain in the earth until the day of final judgment, and God will raise them back to life and reunite them forever to the souls from which they were temporarily separated. You might see what a long interim it will be temporary. Of course, this reunion of body with soul is naturally impossible. But with God all things are possible. The same Lord who is the creator of our body and soul, by the same infinite power, will rejoin what because of sin he allowed to be separated. In the first century, the speculating Corinthians must have posed the same question to St. Paul, Here's the way he answered them. Quote Paul, "Someone may ask, how are dead people raised? And what sort of body do they have when they come back?" These are stupid questions. That's Paul. Whatever you sow in the ground has to die before it is given new life. And the thing that you sow is not what is going to come. You sow a bare grain, say of wheat, or something like that, and then God gives it the sort of body that he has chosen. Each sort of seed gets its own sort of body. Unquote Paul. Even as we hear these words of St. Paul, let's remember that God is all-powerful. If he can raise a new plant out of small seed put into the ground, how much more can he restore a human body and reunite it with a soul? Seeing how much more noble is our body compared with a lowly plant, and seeing how strong is the natural desire of our souls for union with the body. What deserves emphasis is that we shall rise on the last day as the self-same persons we were when we died. Certainly, our risen bodies will be glorified. They'll be different. Thank God, they will be different. They will be made immortal, never to die again, and impassible, never to suffer again. Isn't that wonderful? And agile in being totally at the command of the will. Imagine, the alarm of the bell rings in the morning. Suppose the will could tell the body, "Now, body, you go, and I will stay in bed." The glorified body will have a will that is united with the infinite God. Do you know that the reluctance of our body to obey the will is because our wills are not perfectly united with God? None of that after the resurrection. And for those who like speed, the glorified body will move with the speed of light. That's pretty fast. Finally, for both genders, our glorified bodies will be beautiful beyond conception, shining with the radiance of the sun. That is beautiful which appeals and draws on being seen. All of this we believe. But we dare not forget that our risen bodies will be our bodies, not someone else's, or bodies that never existed before. After the last day, we shall be we, not another person. We shall be ourselves, which means different and distinct and separate individuals. Distinct and different from other people. But we shall be for all eternity identifiably we. We'll have our names after the last day. And one of the great joys of heaven is that as St. John so eloquently described in the book of Revelation, heaven is a society. We'll meet people. We will be together. They will see us, and we will see them. They will hear us, and we will hear them. And because they and we will have bodies, we'll be able to touch them. Christ insisted, didn't he? Now the doubting disciples touch him. We shall be together with our families and loved ones. Talk things over with Abraham and David. I have a lot of things to ask St. Augustine. All of this is as real as our faith. We're not finished yet. We still have one big question. Why? Why, we ask, will our body rise again? There are two main reasons given to us by now centuries of the Church's wisdom. One has to do with us, and the other has to do with Christ. Why will our body rise again? It will rise again as partner with the soul in the performance of good works during our corporate, mutual stay on earth. And therefore as deserving reward with the soul in heaven. Think of this partnership now in the present life. With our bodies, we praise God by using our bodily lips to speak to Him. By folding our bodily hands to show our respect for Him. By bending our bodily knees with our mouth. We make bodily sounds in sacred prayer and song, something the angels cannot do. With our bodies, we make manifold sacrifices to God by giving up forbidden pleasures and by giving up permissible pleasures by our chastity and sobriety. And how I like to say this, by our hard work. With our bodies, we offer up to God the sleep that we naturally crave, and the comfort we naturally want. In our bodies, we give to God the fatigue we experience through laboring in His service. In our bodies, we resign ourselves to the will of God when He sends us sickness and pain. Oh, the joy of suffering on earth, knowing as we do because we have the faith that all this suffering will be rewarded far beyond our wildest dreams. Among the favorite passages of Margaret Mary that I like to quote: "What more do I need on earth?" she said. "I am happy beyond words. I have a body in which to suffer and a heart with which to love." With our bodies, we practice charity towards others in the thousand ways that love for our neighbor can be manifest. What consummate folly to forget for a moment that the effort we expend, the exertion we make to serve others, is all God's way of ensuring that we will be happier than we would ever have been had we not exerted ourselves in this life. All of this, every day and in every way, our body is partnered with the soul in serving the good God. Why do we rise in our bodies? That the body may receive, along with the spirit, its well-earned reward. But there is a second and crowning reason why our bodies will rise from the grave. by our resurrection, the victory of Christ over sin and death will be complete. His victory began with his resurrection. It will end with ours. He rose from the dead as the first fruits of those who sleep. We shall rise from the dead. Let's repeat it and re-accent it. We shall rise from the dead. We shall rise from the dead. We shall rise from the dead. That's your faith and mine. The redemption will be finished only with the final resurrection of all who will rise with Christ, like Christ, to be united with Christ in the heavenly company of the saints. Let me close with a prayer. Risen Lord Jesus, you are the resurrection and the life. Deepen my faith in my own final resurrection from the dead. Strengthen my hope of seeing you one day in body and soul in the society on high, where every sorrow will cease and every tear will be wiped away. Help me to sow serve you now in my mortal body, that I may enjoy your presence in a blissful and endless immortality. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.